Europe moves to get the taxpayer out of the way when banks fail.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer or mobile device instantly streamed by Netflix to save you time, money, and hassle. Free 30-day trial now at netflix.com/APM.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. After hours of high-stakes negotiations, European finance ministers have just come up with a new way to help shield taxpayers in the event that big banks hit the skids. Europe's plan is to make sure that bank shareholders and depositors get hit first. The BBC's Mark Gregory has been following this from London. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
So there was some high-stakes negotiations going on about what to do when banks run into trouble in Europe.
Well, the thing that's concentrated everybody's minds is the fact that European governments and ultimately taxpayers have had to pay out roughly $2 trillion since the global financial crisis to bail out collapsing financial institutions in the region. Obviously, that's an enormous burden for taxpayers, and so we've now got a kind of hard-fought compromise, which means that in future, depositors, investors, creditors will take losses before taxpayers do.
So 7 hours of emergency negotiations, European finance ministers come up with this plan. Where does it go next? It has to be approved, right?
Well, it's going to take at least a year before this becomes European law, if you like. But in a sense, you could say that this is the key one. The most important thing was that the national governments around the European Union had to reach an agreement. And there were some pretty tough negotiations. Essentially, the Germans wanted very tough rules to limit governments' obligations to bail out banks. Ultimately, it's often Germany that picks up the tab in Europe. So that's easy to see their point of view. Whereas another group of countries, led by the French, wanted much more flexibility. They were worried that if the rules were so tough on the investors and depositors in banks, that might reduce confidence in banks and make things even more difficult.
The BBC's Mark Gregory in London. Mark, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. The FT 100 in London is up 0.33% now. The Nikkei in Japan rose nearly 3% after the Dow's 149.1% rise yesterday. Interest rates have been on the rise for the last 6 weeks amid all the talk the Fed could ratchet back its monetary stimulus. But if you take the longer view, rates are still not bad, especially for middle and upper class people with good credit scores. But as Mitchell Hartman reports from our wealth and poverty desk, if you are poor or have not great credit, it's a very different story.
Nancy Ewell sees this problem every day at Innovative Changes. It's a community lender to low-income people in Portland, Oregon.
Their car breaks down. They have a medical emergency. So there is no money out there. Banks are not lending to these folks.
Ewell's nonprofit offers financial counseling, along with loans of several hundred dollars at about 28% interest. Not low, but nothing like the 100% or more on a typical payday loan.
All of our borrowers have no credit or very poor credit, but we see they can make good, responsible loan decisions and make their on-time payments,
which can eventually help them qualify for a home, education, or small business loan, or just get back on their feet.
Medallion Industries, could you please hold?
Sonia Snyder makes $27,000 a year answering phones at a building supply company. She got behind on student loans and medical bills, took out a high-cost installment loan, then borrowed from Innovative Changes.
Because I'm trying really hard to rebuild my credit. Yes, it's a high rate of interest, but for someone as challenged as I am, I couldn't get a conventional loan, so I'm still pretty nip and tuck, but that's the way I live.
The problem is these borrowers are risky. At Nancy Ewell's organization, about 12% of loans aren't repaid.
And how does that compare? I mean, would a bank be pleased with a 12% rate?
No, absolutely not. A bank generally is looking at a loan loss below 1%.
And after being burned in the financial crisis, mainstream banks are going to stay away from risky borrowers, says Jennifer Tesher at the Center for Financial Services Innovation.
Money is flowing, and it's incredibly inexpensive. But banks have the exact same requirements around risk. In fact, they're even tighter, and I think we want it that way.
Leaving responsible lending to the poor largely in the hands of credit unions and nonprofit community groups with limited funds. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly, streamed now by Netflix, a great value. Netflix Streaming has lots of movie and television options, including past seasons of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, and Arrested Development. Watch them using Netflix Instant Streaming and find thousands of other TV series and movies during your free 30-day trial at Netflix.com/APM.
After yesterday's Supreme Court decision, the marriage ban in California that is now effectively no more, that ban was based on a hard-fought set of state ballot propositions. Gigi Duban has more on the future of referenda in the wake of the high court decision.
As social ballot issues go, Proposition 8 was huge.
We had a quarter of a million volunteers in our campaign. We raised nearly $40 million. We communicated in nearly two dozen languages.
That's Frank Schubert, political director for the National Organization for Marriage. He managed the Proposition 8 campaign. He says despite the Supreme Court's decision, it was still an impressive battle. Experts say the time and money investment is risky, but it's one a lot of donors are willing to take.
You contributed funds or you contributed time, you contributed resources of some sort, and you lost the fight. You see this as a lost battle, but the war is still going.
Nino Saviano is president of Savvy Political Consulting. He says as long as there are folks arguing that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, there will be plenty of donors to keep funding that war. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
And there are a lot of dopey things that summer interns get asked to do, the Starbucks run among them, but sometimes the assignment is exalted. For so many of the TV correspondents in front of the Supreme Court with first word of yesterday's landmark decisions, there was an off-screen intern running madly to the correspondent, clutching the printout from the court. In honor of these valiant interns at this moment in history, BuzzFeed has assembled a montage of images of these determined interns in action. The site says they're best viewed as you listen to the theme from Chariots of Fire. Marketplace.org has a link to this. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.